You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Everybody, welcome to another wonderful, beautiful, happy episode of Well Met. We are a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. I am John Horstman, and with me, of course, is the crew. First, from Saskatoon, Canada, it's Kevin Amdestad. Hey, Kev.
Good to see you, John. Looking forward to a big show tonight. We're doing something we haven't done in a long time. A very long time. So that's going to be the highlight tonight.
The return of PvP. PvP is
I
back.
Know. Oh, my God.
Hey, from Kansas City. Kansas or something. Right? Is Kansas City in Kansas, or is it one of those tricky
there
ones?
There is a Kansas City in Kansas, and there is a Kansas City in Missouri. They are right next to each other.
And you're in the Missouri.
I'm on the Kansas side.
You're on the Kansas side. Yep. Any one way or another. It's JR, KJR.
Hey, John, it's been a great week. Holiday weekend here in the U.S. Got to see my Royals take first place in the division this weekend with some amazing comebacks. And get to enjoy some barbecue tomorrow and some Hearthstone. It's going to be an awesome weekend. And I know that... I know that you hate when I talk about baseball, but I had to bring it back.
Oh, I love it when you talk about baseball. The best.
We're going retro
lullaby
today. Back to PvP. Back to JR spending 8 minutes telling us exactly which pitcher threw which ball in the Royals game. It's good.
Which pitcher threw what ball? Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
the anti-sports and the sports come together.
I take like 20 seconds
in Well Met podcast. Oh, man, we've...
No, if we're going retro, like fully retro, you and I have to just be in each other's faces again, right? Like, we have to be constantly like, I disagree with what JR said. What did he say? Kittens are fluffy. No, there's no way.
Nah.
JR doesn't know what he's talking
not
about.
Not true. Porcupines. Porcupines. All right, so we have a lot to talk about, and obviously it's been a big week, not necessarily for Hearthstone, but I still do want to hear your guys' week in Hearthstone. JR, we'll start with you. How much Overwatch Hearthstone did you play this week?
So, I would be legend right now if it wasn't for Overwatch releasing this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know how much I played Overwatch this week because you played Overwatch with me a lot this week. Mm-hmm. And I don't even want to know how many hours we played. But I have played Hearthstone. Believe it or not, I have played Hearthstone. I am currently up to rank 2. I am still possibly going to make that push to legend. Instead of playing Overwatch tomorrow, I'm going to play some Hearthstone and see if I can do it.
You think you're going to get past the deuce by the end of the season?
I don't know. If I keep the 65% win rate that I'm currently seeing right now with the Zoo Warlock deck that I'm playing, then it is very possible because I have the day off tomorrow. I've got a lot of time to play some Hearthstone. I think I can make it happen.
Zoo's coming back with all the shaman and warrior and all that kind of stuff. Zoo's
I get excited right now when I see I'm playing against a shaman because I don't even remember the last time I've lost a shaman at this point. I've been playing a lot of shaman hate lately, and Zoo also does extremely well against shaman. I started out the season playing shaman. And with all of the shaman hate that's been coming out, it's been more and more difficult to play and get a decent win rate with. Zoo Warlock right now is doing some really good work for me. Last week I played some Temple Warrior, and that did fairly well for me. But Zoo Warlock seems to be the deck that is really doing well for me right now.
Nice, nice. Well, best of luck to you for the end of the season. I hope that when we talk to you next week, you talk about your grind to legend.
Yeah, one of two things is going to happen. Either next week I'm going to talk about Overwatch because I got tilted so hard in Hearthstone, or I'm going to be talking about hitting legend again.
Cool, cool. All right, Kev, how about you, man? How was your week?
Not much different. I played a lot of Overwatch, but in between when I needed a break, I did get some Hearthstone in. My projects of late have not been trying to hit Legend. I've been mostly experimenting with my own decks and trying to see what kind of cool stuff I can make work. Spoiler alert, nothing. Zoo is so oppressive right now. I have like four people on my friends list who have hit Legend in the last week with Zoo, because it's just one of those decks where unless everybody is really hard teched against it, it's going to steal games. Like, it's just going to get the nut draw and close out a game on turn six, and there's nothing to be done for it. It happens a lot. And unfortunately, there's enough different things doing that in the meta right now that you really have to get lucky or be very specifically teched and basically hit the right decks enough times in a row, right? Which makes it very difficult. And I, of course, I don't want to do that playing mid-range Shaman or Zoo. I want to do that playing Token Druid or Camel Hunter, right? So I've been trying to mess around with these things. I got my rank 5, so I'll get my gold gold epic for the month, and I've been trying to close out. I'm like 30 wins away from Gold Priest, so I really want to get that done. And that's where I'm at. I'm just going to enjoy that for the rest of May and then see what the world brings in June, maybe decide it's time to make the push again.
Nice. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of the same. I played so much Overwatch, and that was not a surprise to me. What was a surprise to me is Katie is already up to level 20 in Overwatch on Xbox. Like, she is playing the out of that, and it's amazing. It's such an amazing game. I played quite a bit. I did get to run a little bit of Hearthstone because I always run Hearthstone on my breaks and on my lunches at work and things like that. I'm up to the top of rank 8, and so I'll probably hit 5 if I get some time the next couple days, but I really haven't been focusing a whole lot on the grind this month, but I'll definitely be back at it and doing it next month. So yeah, that's about it. Whew, we did a pretty good job at not talking about Overwatch the whole time. So good
so
job.
Far, so good.
Well met, high five. And let's go ahead and talk about the news.
This Week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
Yeah, so not a whole lot this week, but some cool stuff going on in Hearthstone this week. So first, for all you arena fans out there, Creparian does 110 weight, 109. That's 100 wins in 9 arena runs. He did it with, it was a 8, 12 win arena runs and a 5 win arena run. That is pretty freaking insane. You know, we always talk about 110 as being like the pinnacle of the best, the pinnacle of the best arena players in the world. He did it at 9. You know, Babe Ruth, you know, just hit 60 home runs in a season. You know, that kind of thing.
I don't think he qualified for the 110, though, with this, because I think there is some specific, like, things that you have to do for that challenge as far as classes.
Like one
every
class and stuff. Yeah.
Right.
And there is. So, I mean, regardless, and there's lots of people like, well, he didn't announce when his first round was starting and he didn't play one of every class. Still, that's quite the accomplishment.
Yeah.
In the end, I think it's pretty cool. I think I've had 2 or maybe 3 12 win arena runs total. So
I have maybe 100 wins total in arena in my whole lifetime. I just don't play it enough, to be honest.
Yeah.
I've never done a 12 key. I played a pile when it was new because it was one of the most efficient ways to build up a collection back in the day, right?
Yep.
Back when the limit was still 9, and I did a ton and I got my 9 keys a few times. But arena, yeah, just. The appeal that for me isn't there. I dislike how little control you end up with over the style of deck you get to play. And it just frustrates me compared to playing Constructed. I find that I'm always frustrated because it's like I don't get to actually have a win condition. I don't get to actually make sure I have removal or, you know, the right synergies of any kind. So you just end up playing kind of whatever you're given, which means every deck is just a zoo deck in some respect. But I mean, it's cool to see people do well with it. I really do hope that there's more in store for Arena. Like, I hope that Blizzard takes a look at things they could do to make Arena more appetizing, because I think there's probably a lot to be said for, like, look at how good Standard was for Constructed and how much, like, excitement we had about that and what that brought to the game. Even if you don't necessarily love the current meta, like, the core concept of Standard and the changes they made to cards to really make Standard work made Constructed so much better. made, constructed a way better game, they could do something similar for Arena, right? Like, they could really introduce some additional, like, controls to Arena to, I think, make it more fun and more palatable to people who have been away from it, because they don't need to use it as a way to develop their card collection anymore. That's not necessarily a good long term. Like, if the goal is to use Arena as a way for new people to learn the game, then it's fine the way it is. But at some point, you would think maybe you want the Arena experience to also be attractive to, like, us, people like us who've been playing the game for a long time, who are, you know, podcasting about it or listening to podcasts or watching tournaments, like those kind of people. Arena holds very little for them.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there are some people, though, to be fair, there are some people who really love Arena and they're really passionate about that, who are excellent, incredible players. They definitely have a certain level of patience and problem solving that my brain doesn't have. So it's not even like, oh, I don't like Arena, I don't think it's good or skillful, or I just get crappy cards. It's literally, I am just probably not smart enough for my brain to work that way. And kudos to you Arena players who do that. I will play Arena, and I've done so a couple times on stream just for fun, but I don't know if I would ever be an Arena player. Just with the way my brain works, I don't like taking a jumbled mess and go, how can I make this really good? So kudos to you guys.
Yeah. I mean, and Arena for me, like, is the exact same thing with Magic the Gathering, on where I'm really good with Constructed, or I feel I'm really good with Constructed. Same thing with Hearthstone. But anything that is a random deck building with, like, I'm fairly good with Sealed, but Sealed is a little bit different because you already have your card pool. You can just build your deck from that. But actually picking the cards to go in your card pool, like Magic the Gathering with drafting, like, that is just something I have never been able to, like, excel at. And it was something that was really needed to make a really round, like, Magic player back in the day. And I feel the same way about Hearthstone. It's just, my brain just does not, like John said, my brain just does not function that way, to be able to pick those random cards and build a decent deck that consistently.
Don't try to steal my excuse. That's my excuse.
I mean, all I'm gonna say, like, I think we're all pretty much on the same page there, but I think there's lots of things they could do to just freshen the experience up, right? Like, tweak the way the draft works a little bit.
Absolutely.
Give us a better reward system, and because I can bark about this forever, throw down and give us something to allow for improvements to the spectator client that would include the ability to spectate draft. Because that's, yep. I hear that all the time. Like, everybody I know who plays Arena says, man, I just want to be able to spectate my friend's drafts or let them spectate mine and be able to talk through that process. Because that's something that's so, like, it's so core to the Hearthstone experience now, is to share it with people. Let them watch your games, go and, like, watch streams and learn from them, look up deck lists online. Because there's all these resources. And then Arena, it's just like, nope, sorry. That's a totally, like, we're going to silo you off. You have to do that by yourself sort of thing, which I don't get. I think it'd be super cool to be able to share in the drafting process with other people.
Yeah, there's a lot more work to be done with Arena for sure. Speaking of the people who work on Arena, there's also something else pretty exciting coming in, like that segue. So the Hearthstone development team is now hiring. There's a new spot open up on the Hearthstone design team. You can go apply over at, I always forget it, it's like battle.net/careers/
like jobs.com or whatever.
Yongwoo'sjob.com or something like that. Something pretty close to that. And you can go over there and check it out. So doesn't happen very often. So it is pretty noteworthy for us. And the team's pretty small, pretty tight knit, not a lot of turnover in that team. So pretty cool to see, you know, that they're either hiring or replacing. It sounds like they're hiring, not replacing. And so Hearthstone team's growing, so that's got to be a good thing. Yeah, I also have an announcement to make. I will be leaving the podcast, and I will be working on the, just kidding. Sorry, JR, you were saying?
No, this is the same position that Reels, not the exact same, like his job.
Not Reels' job, yeah.
But you'd be working alongside basically him as an associate Hearthstone designer. And if you remember Reels, like, he was a pro player that got into the design team doing this. That's right. The same style that he'd be doing. You would be helping design cards and also helping implement. So if you have some programming knowledge, that's a pretty big plus. I'm actually really considering doing this myself, just for the simple fact that one of the requirements that they have in there is that you have to design a card and put that in your cover letter. And I already have my card designed, so I might
spoil
just
it.
Go ahead.
Spoil it.
No, hit I'm not.
With it. No, hit us with it.
Will you promise to spoil it afterwards?
I will spoil it afterwards.
Okay.
All right.
But not right now. It will probably be, you know, about a month or so from now. Who knows?
See, I was going to say is we should start a pool right now on which pro player we think is getting this job.
Yeah,
I'm going to put $5 on Savitz right now.
Really?
Absolutely.
I don't even think he's applying. No way. I would have to think a little bit, but I have an idea of a few people who might really fit the bill. I think of D2. I think D2 would be somebody who, like, he thinks about the game that way. He's already talking about it all the time, multiple high end finishes. And I think that there's a lot of high finishing players who aren't necessarily with teams who think about the game right and are more about, like, the design and innovation and stuff like that. And I think those are the type of people that they're really looking for. Imagine, like, a Jackie Chan or, you know, someone with that kind of mind who's always constantly trying to innovate through, or, like, Tempo Sayan, some guys who just really get the game. I don't know if they're into it for game design and stuff like that, but if they did, like, those are the type of people I would want on my team, the people who think about the game like that.
Yeah. What I'm hoping for is just my programming knowledge will maybe at least get me an interview. Maybe we'll see.
Well, best of luck to you. Vote for JR 2016. We'll get the
make
t-shirts
Hearthstone
made.
Great again. Yeah.
Yep. And yeah, cool. All right. Whipped right through that news. I don't think we had really anything else when I was reviewing. A little bit slower. I suppose they didn't want to announce anything big on Overwatch's big week. Which makes a lot of sense.
I would shout out for anybody who missed it. There was a really good interview with Dean Ayala on the Angry Chicken last week. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to TAC 151, that was super good.
Yeah, I missed it.
They answered a lot of cool questions about, like, the design process. And, like, they actually talked about how they do their internal power rankings of cards, and they assign every card a weight in terms of how good and playable they expect it to be. So they did actually pretty much nail cards like Piloted Shredder. They're like, no, that's a 10. We know that's going to be one of the most played cards in the game. Like, they knew. Dean went on to say that Undertaker was one they really missed the mark on, and he took personal responsibility for that, which I thought was kind of a cool thing to hear somebody say, like, yeah, that was me. I did that. I goofed. Like, that's always interesting to me to get that kind of perspective, especially now that they can come out and say stuff about particularly, like, the sets that have rotated out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically they have for Constructed an Arena what, like, Hearth Arena did for Arena, where, like, everything has weighted powers and all that kind of stuff. I don't know how you do that internally, but you have access to so many stats. I'm sure it makes a lot more sense once you have access to those numbers, for sure.
Definitely a data-driven process, for sure.
Cool. All right, so go ahead. Sorry, no. Again, dang, I'm moving too quick.
How excited are you guys for the Warcraft movie? It came out in Europe.
Really excited now.
Yeah, it came out in Europe last week. It's coming out here in the U.S. on June 10th, I think. Reviews haven't been great, but everybody that I'm hearing talk about that are Warcraft fans really seem to really love it.
From the reviewers, not great. From the people who went to enjoy a Warcraft movie, sounds like they loved it.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited. I actually finally caught up on all the Warcraft featurettes they have on the website, talking about, like, all the props and the characters and, like, the design around, like, spell casting. And it was all really interesting to me. So I'm really excited to see it. I almost flew up. I was going to fly up to Minnesota to go to the Convert to Raid Minnesota meetup and meet with a bunch of them there. Ended up not being able to make it work with just the how expensive the flights were, but I wish I was there. Probably try to do something. In fact, if you're in Colorado and you think you want to get something going for that, let me know and maybe we can hook up and get our own little thing going in Colorado. Who knows? Might be really
That'd be
cool.
Fun.
Yeah, I'll definitely go see it. I just don't really care for movie reviews, not about like movies in general, let alone movies to do with things I care about. But like most people, I think, go into movies with the intent of enjoying them. Like they go in and they shut their brains off. They're like, I just want to be entertained. They don't sit there and like pick apart continuity. Like that's not the average person's experience with a big movie like this. They just go in like, all right, that was fun. That was cool. Was it worth my time? Was it worth my money? I've only seen a couple of movies ever that weren't, and I expect Warcraft to be a strong presentation as far as just like general enjoyment. People who are going in there, and they're like, you know, I was really hoping that there'd be more blood elves. It's like, all right, you know what? You maybe came at this from the wrong angle. We can't help you with that. Sorry. But if you're a Hearthstone fan, the Warcraft lore has a lot of really cool stuff going on. You'll see names you'll recognize if you go watch the movie. I think it's worth people's time.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Yep. Be a part of it. I strongly encourage you be a part of it. Great. All right. Let's talk about the meta. There's a lot going on in the world of Hearthstone, and we finally have metas that aren't like six or meta reports that aren't 6 days old and kind of weird. And so let's go ahead and talk about these first. So Tempo Storm just today came out right this morning, right? I think so.
It was either earlier today or yesterday.
It was earlier today. Yeah.
Cool. So earlier today, Tempo Storm came out with their meta report, and Kev, give us a rundown.
Well, so one thing that Tempo Storm has done that I think everybody's been pushing them on forever is they've allowed the number of decks they're calling tier one to be flexible. So it's not just four decks all the time. We've had weeks where it was five. This week it's three. Tier one this week, Midrange, Shaman, Zoo, and Tempo Warrior. None of which are surprises to me. I think that's a pretty obvious list to most people. I'm actually surprised to a point that they aren't listing Patron higher, just given what's out there right now. But in general, Shaman and Warrior looking super, super good. And everybody else kind of fighting for 10th place after them. I don't know, JR, what did you think? Is there anything in this report that leapt out at you?
Not really. Like, I would actually replace, I would flip around Midrange, Shaman, and Zulok at this point. Just for the fact I don't think you're going to hit Legend with Shaman, unless you are really, really good with Shaman. But it is still a deck that is controlling the meta that a lot of people are playing. And the decks that, it's a lot like Patron in a way, that the decks that are being played because they're good against Shaman. I'm glad that they have Temple Warrior up there. I feel like Temple Warrior is a very strong deck, if not one of the strongest decks in the game. So you see that here. Midrange Hunter possibly could be a little bit higher. I don't think Miracle Rogue, I think it can go above Miracle Rogue. I don't think Miracle Rogue should be up that high. The biggest thing for me was the drop to N'Zoth Paladin, which really had a big fall and drop down to number 12 in tier two. And I actually really agree with that. I do not see that deck as much anymore. And it's a pain in the butt to play against, but it's also easy to beat, to be honest. So Paladin's not in a very good spot right now, but Priest is
at least it's
really
not,
not in a good spot at all.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
Priest is
pretty rough,
terrible right now. And Druid is in a rough spot as well.
Yeah, there are definitely six or seven classes right now only in the meta. Whereas the first couple of weeks, we had a pretty healthy balance of different classes being represented. Really interesting to me is Pirate Warrior at rank 7, rising 8 spots. And then the week before that was even lower at rank 23. So it has gone in 2 weeks from rank 23 to rank 7. And I have not run into this deck yet. I have not played it, but I'm really curious to. In fact, after the show, I might build it up and just see what we can do with some Pirate Warrior. It'll run fast, which will be fun. It's different, so that'll be fun too. And we'll see what happens. So I think that's kind of interesting. The thing that I don't agree with it is even though it is ranked 7, it doesn't do well against Temple Warrior, doesn't do well against Zoo. Splits with N'Zoth Paladin and Aggro Paladin does really well against slower decks like Reno Lock, Miracle Rogue, Midrange Hunter, which is kind of nice. It does well against Temple Mage and Control Warrior. And so it does have some good matchups, but I don't know if you run into those on the ladder enough. to make that a rank, you know, a seventh ranked deck. And so I want to try it. I want to see what it feels like and go from there.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember, it was a 2 or 3 weeks ago when I was doing my own meta report, and I said Temple Warrior was near the top, and I included in Temple Warrior, Patron, and Pirate as all being kind of that tempo-based. I included all three of those in there. So I'm not surprised at all to see Pirate Warrior come up to the top, because it does play out a lot like Temple Warrior. And Patron Warrior plays a lot out like Patron Warrior, or like Temple Warrior. There's very small differences between those three decks, and they're all just very good. And the rough thing about them is they all start out like Control Warrior. So you don't know if you're going to play Tempo, Patron, Pirate, Control Warrior, or Dragon Control Warrior, or even C'Thun Control Warrior. There's so many different versions of Warrior right now that it is a very difficult deck to play against. To know what you're playing against, to know how to mulligan. And that's one of the reasons why Warrior is, like, you're seeing all these different versions of Warrior near the top of the meta right now.
Well, the thing that's crazy to me, and like, I'm going to maybe say something borderline controversial here, but right now all the top decks are super, super interested in tempo, right? And we're still seeing a heavy prevalence of weapon classes, which are only contested really by Zoo, because they can just throw down such aggressive minions so quickly that even being able to use weapon efficiency doesn't matter. But all of these matchups, like if you go through these lists, they're all pretty even, right? There's very few like truly one-sided matchups. Like, and I'm not talking one-sided like 90-10 like Control Warrior Freeze Mage. I'm talking most of these decks split 60-40 or narrower. Like if you look at the matchups for a deck, like since we're talking about Pirate Warrior, right? The only deck, like the only matchup that Pirate Warrior has that's super good is against Miracle Rogue or ostensibly like Reno Lock. Everything else, it's basically going to split 50-50, give or take 5 to 10 points, right? Like they're all really close matchups. I think that one of the problems that we have right now is that there are no decks that have strong, like really strong matchups, right? If you think back to the pre-standard meta, the reason that you saw so much Druid was because you saw so much Freeze Mage, and Freeze Mage beat so many decks, right? It crushed Zoo, so it brought out Druid, which had a strong matchup against Freeze but lost to Zoo. And you sort of had those relationships that were created where there were decks that had 75 and 80% win rates in certain matchups, but very few that were just split even like that. Whereas right now you can go down this list and every deck feels like it's like, yeah, you basically have a 50-50 chance to win, give or take, right? Like if you decide you want to play Tempo Mage tonight, John, like you can play Tempo Mage, and Tempo Mage will probably win you half your games, the same way that Pirate Warrior will probably win you half your games. Like
if
it really
I'm
feels like
any
it's
good though, that's the thing.
Sure. I just feel like it's really tough to actually pick a deck and beat the meta right now. I think it's really tough to pick something where you can scoot up the middle or take advantage of the current meta, because what deck is actually going to do better than 60% right now? If you're really lucky, 60%. Like, I think everybody's playing in the hopes that they just get good mulligans and maybe lucky on the matchup for an extra percentage point or two. There's nothing you could play today now that would give you like a 65% cruise to legend win rate. It just doesn't exist. That's not the meta we're playing in.
Yeah, the meta we're playing in right now is turn one or two. It basically will define how you're going to run out your game. If you don't have a good mulligan in the first two turns against a lot of these decks, you're probably going to lose. If you have a really good turn and they have a really good turn, it could go 50-50. Whoever controls the board, you know, wins. Whoever curves out the best wins. And that's definitely the meta that we're in right now. It's definitely shifted from those early old gods control to more tempo related. And we're seeing that right now with these meta lists.
Yeah, I would definitely say right now, if I were seriously making a push right now, I would take a look at some of the different zoo archetypes. I know Muzzy has a zoo archetype out there right now that loses the Leroy and brings back the Doom Guards, which just gives you a little bit more staying power. Even though you're losing those cards, obviously, the staying power is really important. Does well against Midrange Hunter, which is coming back. Really holds its own against Shaman, which is something that can be pretty hard to do for basically any other popular archetype right now, except for Warrior. And then it does really well against Warrior too. And so I definitely think if you're making a good push and you're seeing enough shamans and warriors and you think you can win the mirror or tech a card or two to, you know, take the mirror, maybe it's maybe it is adding a sea giant back in or something just to get that mirror value. You know, I do think that this is a really good meta for Zoo right now. And this, of course, is all assuming as well that Tempo Storm's win rates are semi-accurate, which I do think, especially at the high level of play, they are. But there have definitely, and we've commented them on the past, there are definitely some win rates sometimes that we don't totally agree with. And I would say, too, that if you are a competent player playing these decks and climbing the ladder and not at legend status, you should see a little bit wider range of wins and honestly probably losses, too. But you're going to see a little bit wider range of your win-loss ratio, either in your favor or not. But there are definitely some good decks that can run that, you know, you're not, it's not like every deck you're going to run is going to be 60% at best. It's really if you are playing people of equal skill and playing these decks and they're playing decks that at an equal skill level to you, that you should be seeing those types of win rates.
So I have a question for you guys. You know, tier two, we're seeing Midrange Hunter at number eight right now. And Midrange Hunter is one of those decks that I see pretty consistently right now when I'm laddering. And I want to ask you guys, how would you think Hunter would be at right now? How good would you think Hunter would be at right now if it was not for Call of the Wild?
I mean, Call of the Wild is a pretty decent like mid-range win condition card, right? And that's given them a lot of staying power. But I think Call of the Wild really relies in a lot of ways on Hunter already having the board, right? So I don't think Call of the Wild is the problem card everybody thinks it is. Really, Call of the Wild is 5 damage on turn 8, right? And it's only when you see them back to back, because so little can clear two of them. Like, there's nothing you can do shy of a flame strike to clear the board after one Call of the Wild. So I think it's a super good card, but I think it shines on being played after you've already got a high main on the board, being played after you've had a Tundra Rhino stick, being played when you were able to play like an Infested Wolf and just have some extra minions on the board that get to actually act that turn with the benefit of the aura. I mean, and it's a very powerful swingy card, but it's not the reason that Hunter is a successful or unsuccessful class. Like, I think there's a lot of room left to iterate within Hunter. And it's definitely a class that to me just feels like it doesn't have, there's no really strong incentive to explore much. But I mean, even as I say that, like, I've seen two or three really good legend Hunter lists this week that have teched in Snipe and they're getting mad mileage out of playing Snipe, which I would never have predicted prior to Standard. You would never have seen it. So I don't think we're done with Hunter yet, but Call of the Wild isn't necessarily the reason it's succeeding or failing in my mind.
I would actually kind of disagree with that. I mean, it's not just because of that, but it's the fact that A, it's winning games that it otherwise wouldn't have that late in the game. Whether you have a couple beasts on board or something like that, you know, imagine what a couple leftover hounds now mean once you get that out. On a blank board, you're right. It's like just as good as putting out a Ragnaros against a board that's already pretty heavily against you. It can sometimes eke out a win, but ultimately it's kind of a desperation play. But Hunter is still very good, especially with some of these new spells that we're seeing being teched in, like Snipe and things like that. Hunter is good at not falling behind now, and the problem is that it has trouble finishing, and it's not really used to finishing post, you know, turn 9 or 10. Anyways, even before all this, you run your high mains and you run Dr. Boom and you hope that that's enough that they can't actually go ahead and do that. And then you finish it off with hero power and kill commands. And, you know, at that point, you should have made them waste enough and you should have been able to eke out enough damage that, you know, you're able to win. But with some of those sticky minions gone, they're kind of resorting to Call of the Wild to sometimes come back, but it really is winning them, I believe, quite a few games. I do believe that without Call of the Wild, you would not see this in tier two. It would definitely be tier three deck, because again, it's not a slow meta, but these games are going to turn 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And as a hunter, you've used all your card draw by that point. So if you don't have something like Call of the Wild in there, some sort of way to put three minions on the board in one turn and say, okay, I'm still in this. I think with Call of the Wild, Hunter would be in a lot of trouble.
That, and you have such a high percentage of doing back-to-back Call of the Wild because it's a high-cost card. And if you're going that late in the game with all the card draw that you have, the chances of you getting a back-to-back Call of the Wild is actually really good. And it's probably the most devastating thing you can do in the game right now is that back-to-back Call of the Wild. The other turn that Hunter's very strong on right now is turn four with Houndmaster, with some of the smaller, stickier minions. Beast minions that Hunter has also gained from the old gods. Those seem to be the two turns, but yeah, late game right now, if it wasn't for Call of the Wild, Hunter would not be as high as it is.
And
right
to
now.
Be fair, assuming that you're not drawing any extra cards and you're not mulliganing for Call of the Wild, you're at a lower than 50% chance to get double Call of the Wild. But it's going to sit in like the, if I had to guess, I'm not doing the math right now, but it'd probably be somewhere in the mid 30s to low 40% to have both Call of the Wilds by your 13th or 14th draw, which would take you.
Which is still a pretty good percent, though.
That is a good percent. Don't get me wrong, but it's not like this massively favorable percentage point, especially because you're probably not mulliganing everything away on your mulligan. So you're probably keeping something there. So, you know, probably 30-ish percent best case. Yeah. That's still just for the one record, out of three games.
Just for the record, when you're in my opponent, it's 100% chance. So
that's true. Always Huffer too. Three Huffers actually for Call of the Wild is what it ends up being. All right. I think we spent enough time on this one because Vicious Syndicate has been doing this amazing report that they bring out every, I don't know how often they're doing it right now, so I feel bad, but they have their Data Reaper report number 2. And basically what they do is they have this tracker that you can install, and basically it shows the opponents what you're playing, what opponents you're playing, and kind of gives them access to data like what's being seen at certain levels, what decks are doing well, what aren't. And it's really interesting. And I actually don't know if this does win rates. This is something that someone dropped to me today and I totally missed it. So I feel silly. I don't think it drops win rates, just play percentage. But still, if you're looking at running a deck on ladder and you want to beat the top three, you know, decks, because the top three decks typically take up more than 50 to 60% of what you see on the ladder. Statistically, this is going to be a great way for you to decide what kind of deck to run. So to kind of give you a breakdown, Jared, did you get a good chance to kind of look at this?
Yeah. So the biggest thing is, like, right now, like John said, these are kind of the percentages that these decks are being played. So the number one by far is a Shaman. You're going to see either midrange or aggro as kind of the main two. Almost over 20% of the games that you play against is going to be Shaman. And I kind of agree with that. It seems to be a little bit less in this last week. But I would say the first 3 weeks definitely might have even been higher than that. And then number two is Warrior. And once again, like we were saying earlier, like, there are so many different versions of Warrior. You know, you're going to see about, what is that, about 17% or so a Warrior. But only less than 5% of that is tempo,
and which is the largest represented. Yeah.
Which is the largest representative. But then you've got control, pirate, C'Thun, dragon, and other. Which there have been a lot of aggro warriors out there, a lot of aggro dragon warriors out there, a lot of C'Thun dragon warriors out there. I mean, there's a lot of different variations of warrior. And then number three is warlock. So we've already hit our top three. Zoo is dominating that at about 10%, while Reno is about a little closer to 4%. And then after that is Hunter, which mid-range is the most dominant form of Hunter right now, seeing the most. And then after that is Rogue, and then beyond that is Mage, Druid, Paladin, Priest, which are significantly less.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are the overall, though. So I believe that's for all different ranks. So from any rank to any rank. Now, what they do is they go ahead and break it down by legend. So if you are looking at the legend ranks, they have about 1,000 games tracked. And you have Warrior and Shaman switch. So a lot more people playing Warrior than Shaman, which makes sense because Warrior beats Shaman. And if there's a lot of people beating Shaman, why wouldn't you run that? And then you've got Warlock in third, and then Rogue slightly overtakes Hunter, even though there's more mid-range Hunter being represented than Miracle Rogue. So kind of interesting there. And then what my favorite thing about this whole thing is for people trying to go from like rank five to legend, and they're trying to they're trying to get a leg up there. Like, what's being played at rank 5 to 1? 23-ish% Shaman, which is kind of insane, and like mid range, and half of that is aggro as well. So pretty interesting. And then you've got Warrior, Hunter, and then Warlock, and then Miracle Rogue falls down from there. So, Kev, what do you think about the different types of sets of data that we have here?
I mean, I really like having the data. I wish that there was a lot more of it. You'll recall we've seen those reports coming out of China where they've got the breakdown of millions of games worth of data because it's so common for everybody to be using the same tools in the Chinese server. They've got I think the sample set here, they said, was something like 3,500 games, which is obviously great. It's great to have that information, but it's still a pretty small set of games in the grander scheme of things. So it would be nice to see a little more data. But the biggest takeaway for me, honestly, looking at this right now and looking at what we just talked about with the Tempo Storm meta, why isn't everyone playing Patron Warrior? Like, Patron Warrior is even or favored with the other like top six decks on Tempo Storm, and decisively ahead of most of the most played decks that are showing up here in terms of being most played. Beats Shaman, both types, beats most other Warrior, beats Zoo, like it screams, beats Hunter, or splits even with Hunter. I don't understand why everyone isn't playing Patron Warrior right now. I know it's a hard deck to pilot, but I want to log off. I want you guys to finish the show without me, and I want to go play Patron Warrior right now, because all signs point to that being the best possible decision right now.
Well, my question is, especially with this list, like, would they include Patron in other, or would they include Patron in Tempo? Because like I've said many times before, Tempo and Patron run very much alike, and there's a difference of just a couple cards. Some people consider Tempo to be Patron. Some people consider Patron to be its own thing.
I mean, I think it's a fundamentally different deck. Yes, the shell is probably the same 25 cards, but Patron has a totally different concept of how the win condition should work. And it also obviously is way more keen on the cycle, which there's less draw for sure in Tempo than there is in Patron, just because of the way it plays out, which also means that you win any game where your opponent doesn't have sweeper removal, right? Patron auto wins, honestly, against like Zoo, any kind of druid, any class that doesn't have multi-target removal, right? Like, rogues without vanish don't win against Patron. Like, Patron just seems like it should be in such a good place right now. I don't know. I'm gonna experiment. I'm gonna play some Patron later. That's the outcome here.
Cool.
All I know is I see a lot less Patron right now than I did earlier in the season. So I have seen it drop off quite a bit.
But I mean, so to your point, right, because I think this data for me backs up something that we have actually talked about a lot on the show, which is how difficult a deck is to pilot being a huge factor. Right. Look at the top decks here. Tempo Warrior, mid-range Shaman. Zoo Warlock. Like, yes, there's obviously decision making in all of these decks. I'm not trying to downplay the significance of them. But if you compare them to the complexity of learning to play Patron or Miracle Rogue or any of the really complex interactive control decks where you need to value every single card, like these are the modern day equivalent of the old school Druid, except there's no combo to win the game with. Like, you play the best play you have on curve every turn. They're Secret Paladin 2.0, right? Within modern context for most purposes. Tempo Warrior isn't sitting there trying to frantically do math for lethal. They're saying, okay, It's turn four. I have a Bloodhoof Brave. That's the best play I can make. Like, that's what we're seeing is decks that do that. They run a little bit of draw. They don't empty their hands entirely. They're not aggro decks. They're not Secret Paladin. But it's I would say the most popular decks right now are consistently the ones that can steal games and are the easiest to pilot. Like, I think that's what this data really points to.
Well, yeah, if you look, like, Freeze Mage is only seeing about 2%. I still think it's a fairly strong deck, not nearly as strong as Patron, but it's one of those decks that's hard to pilot and takes a lot of math to kind of get your lethal figured out.
So last thing I want to hit on, because you guys are warming up for what's coming next. I love this. but before we jump into some PvP, the last thing on these reports is something called a Meta Breaker of the Week, where they highlight a deck that, based on what we're seeing on ladder, here is the deck that is best suited to deal with that, assuming that these statistics stay true. And that is Muzzy Zulok, that I was actually talking about a little bit earlier, that runs Doom Guards instead of... It runs it instead of, oh my God, I'm so stupid, Leroy's and something else, and also runs Forbidden Ritual, which is kind of cool. I've seen that in and out. It does tech in an acidic Swamp Ooze as well. So pretty good. And the other cool thing about this deck is it's super cheap. So if you are a new player and you want a competitive deck that you can compete with, this is a 1400 dust deck. No legendaries at all, and so it's all right there, and definitely something that you guys should consider playing, especially if you're wanting to play competitive. I am not saying it's the most fun deck. I'm not going to say people are going to love you for it, but it will win you games, especially after you get the initial hang of how to play it. So
I will say, since in the last week of playing the zoo, I have gotten a lot more friend requests from my opponents this week than I did when I was playing Shaman. So, and they all want to give me the friendly internet hug.
Oh, just lost video here. That was a little bit awkward. Sorry about that. We'll try to get that back while we're doing that. You know what? I think it's time for some PvP.
Player versus player. In Player versus Player, two hosts face off in a spitfire battle of Hearthstone knowledge and wits. Each battle consists of three rounds of predetermined topics. Within each round, each participant has 90 seconds to make their argument. After all three rounds, the victor is chosen as this week's PvP champion. The PvP champion will bask in their glory until next week, when they will become judge in the Player versus Player arena. Kevin Odin Hoftestad versus J.R. Eldorian Cook.
Ah, yes, we are back and looking at some really exciting PvP action this week. I'm really excited to be going through this with you guys. So let's go ahead and jump right in. So we've got three topics this week. I'm really excited about them. The first one is going to be the classic card most in need of a nerf post-standard. The second one is going to be the most effective tribe in standard. And then the third is going to be the most surprising card in Old Gods. I do have a straw poll created so that those of you in our Twitch chat can weigh in as well who you think won or lost. So I'm going alphabetical here. So, JR, I'm going to give you the first crack at the classic card most in need of a nerf. But, of course, before we go, I want to hear a little smack talk from the two of you. So, JR, I give you the table. Lay down your smackdown for me, please.
All I have to say is USA, USA, USA. We beat Canada every time. That's all.
Oh, man. You're playing right to my heartstrings there. I love it. Kev, what about you?
I mean, I don't even know that I have to respond. It sounds like JR doesn't actually know how smack talk works. This is supposed to be a contest of Hearthstone wits, and he's going to rely on patriotism? No. We're here to discuss serious topics with serious consequences. I have picked out, through extensive study, the cards that are most appropriate for these discussions, the tribe that's most appropriate for this discussion. I'm going to laugh my way to the bank. You know, it's really, I feel bad because we do three rounds, but I'll have won after the first two and the third one's just going to be for show.
Wow. That was a little harsh.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. That was good job. That's exactly what I asked for. That's what I wanted. Let's go ahead. Get into round one. JR, take the floor. Classic card most in need of a nerf post standard.
So this one was a little bit difficult because I kind of had a toss-up. But for me, I think Knife Juggler still needs some nerfing done to it. And I think the preparation nerf is needed to try and stop Miracle Rogue from being a forever deck. However, my main choice would have to be Divine Favor. A lot of nerfs that Blizzard has done has been against card draw and that card draw advantage. And in an aggro-style Paladin deck, Divine Favor has absolutely insane possible value. There is no card in the game right now that is even comparable to the amount of card draw you get in the game other than playing Harrison on a Shaman with a 6-charge Doomhammer. The way the card needs to be nerfed is to probably provide some kind of limit behind it. It's a card where you can be ahead in board control and by dumping your hand early and then having an advantage of drawing a ton more answers after doing so. It's a card that at this moment isn't the biggest problem in the game, but for Paladins to have this ability forever, it's a card that definitely needs to be looked at. And that's why I chose like Divine Favor right now instead of some of these other classic cards. And I think
all
it's
right,
a card
shut
that
up.
Need to be
shut
nerfed right off the bat.
Shut it. Just kidding. Well done, though. Well done. All right. So Divine Favor for JR. A little bit of a surprise. I like this. I like this. I think that's a cool pick. Kev, are you ready?
Totally. All right. So I decided to be a gentleman and I didn't take the obvious free win of suggesting Doomhammer because everyone's going to go for that. And you guys have also heard me complain about Auctioneer. So we're not going to go there. My pick for card that absolutely 100% must change in the next iteration of Standard is Leroy Jenkins. This has been a consistent theme in how Blizzard has nerfed cards, how they've modified the game over the years. Charge has been one of the most problematic mechanics in the game. We saw them make the change to the Druid combo because it could do 14 damage from the hand unopposed. Well, Leroy double Power Overwhelming, Leroy double Cold Blood, Leroy into a Faceless. There's all sorts of ways in which people are continuing to pull off these high damage charge combos because of Leroy Jenkins. His power level was already nerfed. They increased his cost. But I think what we've seen is the Blizzard team in design switch it up a little bit. They're more willing to change stats now, not just cost. And thematically, they can do something different with Leroy to make him less oppressive and get rid of the bizarre win conditions that Leroy creates. Leroy is a card that can't continue to exist in the form that he exists today, because until they change him, they can't do anything with Faceless Manipulator. They can't do anything with any of the damage potential from other cards because they have to balance everything around dealing with the tandem problem that is posed by charge.
Okay. All right. I hear you. Okay. Pretty cool. So we got Divine Favor versus Leroy Jenkins. The poll is in the chat. Go ahead, guys. Weigh in and we'll come with the tally and the final results at the end of everything. Switching it up a little bit. Normally I just say, hey, you win round one. Hey, you win round two. We're going to go to the end for that so that Kevin can't win in two rounds. You know, we don't want that.
Subtle. I like it.
You got it.
Make
I got
sure
you, buddy.
Good.
I got you, buddy. So, all right, Kevin, you are going to lead round two. So round two is the most effective tribe in Standard. Are you ready, sir?
Oh, God, yes. All right, so I feel bad because I got to fill like 90 seconds of airtime right now with talking about nothing because this is an open and shut case. The most effective tribe right now, totems. Boom, done. There, mic drop. We can just sit here in silence. You guys can listen to the soothing sound of my voice. Let's talk about the weather. It's been nice outside. A little rainy here, but you know, that's the way the world spins. No, totems are so crazy good. Totem Synergy is easily way far and away the strongest tribe that we've ever had in the game. Like, I think it actually puts how good Mech Synergy was to shame back in the day because it's so oppressive and so good. And it's not just about the cards that are part of the tribe. It's all the things that come from the tribe itself. There's nothing, not beasts, not giants, not mechs, not any concept of a tribe in this game that even comes close to what totems are capable of right now. There's way more beast cards. Doesn't matter. Beasts don't have anywhere near the same level of synergy. There's way more dragon cards. They don't show up. They're too slow. The whole tribe has suffered. Even with the introduction of the really good cards in TGT, it's still just not good enough. Totems are the tribe that is dominating the whole meta right now, deciding what you're playing when you go to ladder, because you have to play around the power of something as simple as just a 3-4 on 2 totem golem that then synergizes into the craziness that is thing.
Okay, totems. Didn't see that coming. Very clever. Very outside of the box. JR, are you ready?
Yeah. So yeah, totems, they're pretty good. I gotta give Kevin that they are. That's a pretty good pick. However, if you don't want to play shaman, then why don't you do something with pirates? I think the best tribe in, most effective tribe in standard right now is a pirate deck. And the reason I say that is if you look at the meta report, sitting at top is Temple Warrior. Slightly below is Pirate Warrior. But I still feel that Temple Warrior and Pirate Warrior are basically the same thing and play out basically the same way. Staples in this deck include N'Zoth's First Mate, Bloodsail Cultist from the Old Gods, and then add in classic cards of like Zalcy Deckhand, Bloodsail Raider, and Dread Corsair, and you have a deck that is centered around really helping out Warrior staple of using strong weapons in the game. I also don't think that the Pirates tribe is fully fleshed out yet or explored in Standard. One of the great things about it that you can't get from playing Totems and Shaman is that it can be played by several other classes that also use weapons. And I think in the year of the Kraken, looking forward into the future, we're going to be seeing a lot more.
Okay. All right, so Totems versus Pirates. Surprised I didn't see any mechs. Bring back the mechs.
Gorillabot into Gorillabot into Gorillabot.
All right. And because I can see what's kind of going on here, Kev, you're actually going to take the first one again for round three. Don't worry, I got you. So round three is the most surprising cards in the Old Gods set. Kevin, are you ready?
Absolutely. Let's do it. All right, so when we talk about surprising cards, I think what we're talking about is card that we were caught off guard by to see printed. It was something that was unusual, unpredicted. Nobody could have seen it coming. Now, obviously, you could say that about something like Yogg-Saron, but really, we expected them to print crazy cards for these big 10-mana Old Gods. We knew that was kind of the direction that they were going to go. So the card that really blew me away mechanically was actually Sargoth the Slitherer. They're so careful to not really overuse that immune to spells and hero powers mechanic. And then they threw down this incredible, big, sticky, late game taunt that can't be removed by anything other than non-directional random target removal or the Black Knight. Maybe that was an attempt to bring the Black Knight back. Who knows? But this is an incredibly bizarre card. We saw just how powerful things like Spectral Knight were. Spectral Knight, a core card in Firebat's 2014 winning druid deck, conceptually very successful because you had a minion that was immune to spells and removal. And now we've got this enormous minion that if you see that thing come down right now in the current meta, there's almost no class in the game that's equipped to answer it. There's very little that actually does anything to stop it. If you don't have Black Knight, what do? I think you lose.
All right. So that says what the Slitherer?
Sargoth.
There it goes. Soggy Goth, the Slitherer. I like it. Okay. All right. JR, do you think you've got a comeback here?
Yeah, I've got this. So if you're down in rank 15 like Kevin, you'd probably think Sargoth is a really surprising card right now. However, it's definitely not. There are a lot more surprising cards in the game, and I really wanted to say Yogg-Saron here, but then I knew John wouldn't side with me. So instead, I'm going to stick with the card that's keeping Zoo at a tier one deck at the higher levels and that no one even talked about before the release of the game, and that is Dark Councilman. Absolutely no one was talking about this card before the Old Gods was released. And it was part of like that huge wave we got like just a few days before it released. And even then, no one was even talking. We didn't even talk about it on this show. But pairing this with Knife Juggler, and Forbidden Ritual gives you some pretty insane value, forcing your opponent to deal with it with a 5 health minion on turn 3. That's pretty rough. I'm laughing at Kevin's little thing there. But no, it if you have that on turn 3 and you pair it with cards like Argent Defender, Direwolf, Abusive Sergeant, like, I don't think you can find any other card in the set that went from no one talking about it to being one of the top cards in the—
Oh my gosh. This was an epic PvP. I love it. If you guys didn't get to watch the video part of PvP, I strongly suggest hop on YouTube and watch. I think it would probably be around somewhere around like the hour-ish mark. Watch that last rant, because it was good. It was real good. Man. All right. So 3 different rounds. The votes are still coming in. But round 1, according to the chat, Kevin is ahead by 2 votes, 6-4. However, I would myself side with JR on this one. You need cards like Leroy. There's nothing cancerous about what Leroy is doing right now. It's an extended win condition. You can play around it. There's a lot of different things that can be done. And so Leroy is totally fine. Divine Favor is a very scary card, and that if we do get good fast paladin cards in the future, it ends up being a problem. So I would totally give the point to JR there. My point counts as 2, so we're calling that one a tie. The second one, round 2, Kevin again wins 6-4. Saying,
I'm surprised by that. I thought he would get more, to be honest.
Yeah, which that was to be fair, I don't know if it's just to spite Kevin. Maybe those votes were totems are incredibly strong. It almost felt a little bit like cheating, honestly. Let's be fair, because to be honest, the only thing really powerful about the totem tribe, as far as synergy goes, is Dark from Below. Yeah, there's some other stuff, but Thing from Below. Thank you. But to the point, yeah, that's probably going to be it. And then, very decisively, in round 3, Kevin got crushed 8-2. And so JR is going to go ahead and take. So we've got a tie-ish, and then we've got Kevin, we've got JR. But because the audience voted the way it did, Kevin ekes out the tiniest of tiny victories. Congratulations, Kevin. Good job. It was well thought.
You can tell Jared was extra crushed because he lost to a rank 50.
Yeah, whatever.
Hashtag rigged.
All right, Kevin, you have the stage for your moment of gloating. Anything you want to say?
You know what? I missed PvP. This is too much fun. I don't know why we stopped doing it. We got to do it again.
Yeah. Right now? Want to do it right now? I'm just kidding.
Go again.
No, I think actually, I believe we are done. Dunzo done. Thank you guys so much for hanging out for episode 63. I need to take a moment and thank our friends of the shows, Sean G, Martin Z, and Albert T. These shows cannot be done without our patrons, and the way that these guys have supported the show is just incredible. Thank you again so much for your support of the show. If you want to know more about how you can support Well Met, head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. We also want to hear your emails. It's slowing down a little bit, and so these are the perfect times to send in your emails, and we can answer them on the show. When there's a lot of news, and then we get 30 emails, we miss stuff. But there's not a lot of news. Things are slowing down. Send us your things so we can talk about them on the show. Patreon. I think we've got some new stuff on the Patreon, don't we, Kev?
We sure do. So first and foremost, in addition to our friends of the show who we love ever so much, thank you guys once again. Do want to welcome Scotty D to the Well Met family this week. New with us. We're very happy to have you. If you are not already a supporter of the show, you want to find out some more, you can hit up patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. We are constantly chatting with our patrons on our new Facebook group. You guys will have access to all the cool new sound effects that John is adding to our Dropbox if you decide to go for that. We're doing coaching and all sorts of cool stuff with the people who are top tier supporters of the show, and we really enjoy it. And there's going to be hopefully a strong possibility coming up here over the summer that we're going to reach that next big milestone and start offering you guys one additional bonus show every month. So if that's something that interests you, head on over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast.
Awesome. And 5-star reviews, JR.
Yeah, so we had some awesome 5-star reviews this week from the USA. Thank you, Centaurus MKV. And from Canada, thank you, Scotty Duzino. You guys are awesome. You help us out a ton. And if you'd like to give us a 5-star review on iTunes, just hop over to iTunes, type in Hearthstone, do a little, you'll find Well Met pretty easily right there. Click on that, leave a nice little 5-star review there. And when you do, I will mispronounce your name on the show. It'll be awesome.
Yay! I love it.
Nice.
Oh, man. Shoutouts for the week. Let's go ahead and do it. Kev, you first.
Right on. So it's been a crazy week. Overwatch being out has been awesome. I'm playing a ton of Overwatch on both PC and console, especially on console, though. I could use some more friends. So if you're a console player on Xbox Live and you want to come hang out and play some Overwatch with me and my friends, get at me on Twitter at Lack of Realism. Let me know what your gamer tag is over on Xbox Live so we can hook up some games together. Hearthstone wise, I'm hoping to get some streaming in this week. It's be a quieter week for me because I'm not traveling this time. So midweek, look for me on twitch.tv/OdenTV. And a special shout out to JR.
Nice. Nice. We'll have to find a way to edit that because that was really that was something else. JR, shout outs for the week.
I'm just going to have to give a shout out to all of our awesome fans that reach out to us every week and every day. You guys are awesome. And if you want to come and play Overwatch with us, come to our Discord channel. We're over at discord.blisspro.com. I check that out fairly often, see if there's anybody in there, and just hop into our Overwatch channel there and let's play some games of Overwatch because I'm really enjoying that game right now. And when I have some free time at the computer, I like playing that. When I have free time away from the computers, when I play Hearthstone. So let's get some Overwatch games in.
Awesome. As for me, I didn't know about it last week, but I was actually a guest on Convert to Raid again. So if you want to be on an incredible podcast with Pat Crane, Sharku, Darius, talking about everything in the Blizzard game universe, from World of Warcraft to Diablo to StarCraft to Heroes of the Storm, and of course Hearthstone and Overwatch, go check it out. ConvertToRaid.com. I got to guest there. It was my second time guesting, so I'm totally geeking out. It was because of podcasts like that that I began podcasting. So just total geek out moment. I'm playing a lot of Overwatch as well. So if you want to play Overwatch, honestly, with any of us, hop into our Discord, blizzpro.discord.com, and say you want to play, and we'll get back to you, and you'll probably meet other friends too. And yeah.
Definitely.
That's it for us this week. You can tune in together with your friends live every Sunday on twitch.tv/blizzpro at 7 p.m. Pacific, or find us on your favorite podcast outlets for updates throughout the week. Follow us on Twitter at WellMetPodcast, and WellMet is entirely supported by our fans. Find out more at patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. We also have merch at store.blizzpro.com. And Kevin, you're looking good in that shirt this week, by the way. Way to represent. As always, a big thank you to Jake Buttonow at jakebuttonow.ca for our music, and Scythe Designs for our graphics. Thank you again for joining us for episode number 63. JR is a dork, according to Kevin. I love it for the audio listeners. Thanks for joining us for episode 63 of Well Met. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody. See ya.
Well Met is a production of blizzpro.com. The show records live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at twitch.tv/blizzpro. To get the latest news and information about the show, follow us on Twitter at Well Met Podcast, or join us on our subreddit at reddit.com/r/wellmetpodcast. If you would like to support the show, you can find out how at patreon.com/wellmetpodcast.